to the Illinois Agronomy Roundup. I'm your host because we're here at the Bayer Crop Science Learning Center in Monmouth, Illinois. And today we've got Dr. Trent Ford from the Illinois State Climatologist's Office. Was nice enough to take some time to visit with us today. How are you doing today, Dr. Ford?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, a lot of goings on outside of the weather and climate that have the world busy right now. But it's nice to be able to focus on some climate science for a little while.
Boy, that's no kidding. Why don't you, I know you've been on with us before, but it's been quite a while. Why don't you kind of remind us a little bit about your background and how long you've been involved with the Illinois State Climatology Office and, sure. And kind of get us up to speed there.
Yeah, so I joined the Illinois State Water Survey here at the University of Illinois back in August of last year. That's when I started my position as state climatologist. Before that, I was an assistant professor in geography and environmental resources at SIU down in Carbondale. And I'm originally from Roanoke, Illinois, got my bachelor's degree at Illinois State, studied there in geography. And my background is in climate, especially hydroclimate and the impact of water on the climate system. And so it's been a busy 6 or 7 months since I started this position, for sure.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Well, we're glad to have you on board. And Illinois State that's my alma mater, right? That's where I got my ag education degree many, many years ago.
That's right. Right. Go Redbirds.
There you go. Absolutely. So let's, why don't we kind of wrap up what we saw in 2020 and kind of start working into what we think we're seeing as far as an outlook here in I got that backwards, right? Let's wrap up 2019 and let's look at what we're transitioning to into 2020 here.
Sure. Yeah. So, folks know what happened in 2019. We ended the year, it was overall the calendar year 2019 was the fifth wettest on record, statewide. One of the reasons it wasn't the wettest is because we had a pretty significant drought in both central Illinois in the summer and southern Illinois in the fall. That kind of brought those totals down. But for most areas north of I-74, we had the wettest year on record across the state. So it was very, very wet. Since the last recording in the fall, we actually ended 2019 drier than normal. So November was about a little over an inch drier than normal, and December was right around that as well. The first half of November was very cold. It was actually kind of continued our end of October, where it was really our first cold air outbreak of the season. But honestly, since that time, we've really seen persistent mild temperatures to end 2019 and start the year 2020. Give you an idea, in some places in the state, Christmas Day was actually 20 degrees warmer than Halloween Day. So it was just kind of an odd change in the pattern that's really, again, persisted for a very warm wintertime. So overall, climatological winter, which goes from December to February, 75% of days in that season across most of the state were warmer than normal. So again, it's been very, very persistent as far as our temperatures are concerned. Overall, the winter ended up being the ninth warmest on record. That is from December 2019 to February 2020. So again, just really warm conditions that's also affected our overall snowfall. So snowfall across the state for pretty much everybody except the kind of very western edge of the state is right at or slightly below normal as far as wintertime snowfall is concerned. The largest departures are actually in the northeast corner in Cook and Lake counties, where they're looking at snowfall deficits of 10 to 20 inches. So overall, warm, relatively snow-free winter. And when the snow has fallen, it really hasn't stuck around very long. It's pretty melted pretty quickly. Now, precipitation this winter, really going back to December of last year, has been in some parts of the state similar to what we saw in 2019, especially the kind of I-70 corridor between St. Louis and Effingham. They've received about 6 inches more precipitation than normal over the winter season, which is right about what they had last year. Most of the other parts of the state are slightly drier than they were in 2019. And actually, most of northern and western Illinois are drier than the long-term average, which has been good. So You know, one theme of this recording is trying to compare what we have now in our ongoing conditions to what was going on this time of the year in 2019. And so even though some parts of state were or are as wet as they were in 2019, the end of 2019, November and December, were so dry that we actually had a decent amount of capacity in the system with the soils and streams to take in some of that water. So even with the same amount of precipitation, we're looking hydrologically, we're looking better now coming into March than we were this time last year. It's also important to remember that the wettest part of 2019 was April, May, and June, especially May. Most of the state received 2 to 2.5 times the normal May precipitation. And the absolute frequency of precipitation in May of 2019 was just astounding, record-breaking. Pretty much all across the state. And so even though across the state we're wetter than normal, and I'll kind of get to that in a little bit with conditions and outlooks, it's very unlikely that we're going to see the kind of the frequency of precipitation, the total amount of precipitation that we saw in 2019 over the next 3 months. So that's kind of the overall good news. Now, as far as current conditions are concerned, I think the biggest difference between this year and last year is the snowpack here in central and southern Illinois. It's very rare that we have snow actually sitting on the ground for more than just a day after a snowfall event this time of the year. But the real anomalies are in the upper Midwest. And so looking at maps of this time last year compared to current conditions, areas of southern Minnesota from pretty much the Twin Cities to the Iowa line last year had anywhere between 6 and 10 inches of snow water equivalent. So when that snowpack melts, it releases all that water into our big rivers and streams, especially the Mississippi. And so this time last year, they had 6 to 10 inches of snowfall or snow water equivalent. And right now they have no snowpack there. So that represents a tremendous reduction in the amount of water that will be released again into the upper Mississippi River once that snowpack does begin to melt. At the same time, we see minimal to no snowpack across the entire state of Iowa, all of Wisconsin south of Eau Claire, and of course, all of Illinois is pretty much snowpack free at this time. And so even if we do get a wetter than normal spring or just a normal spring amount of precipitation here, we won't see that kind of augmentation or that amplification of flooding conditions by the snowpack melt that we saw last year. So that is good news. As far as go ahead, sorry.
Well, that's basically what I was just going to say. That is good news. I think there's, you know, memories of last spring were you know, still pretty raw, and you know, the extreme delay in planting we had, and it does feel a little bit better this year. It seems like we're in a pattern that's going to be looks like it's going to be a little bit more favorable than what we dealt with a year ago.
That's right, and certainly that's going to help. The lack of snowpack is going to help those folks along the main stem Mississippi River. That's where the biggest impacts from that snowpack melt are going to be seen. And so that is an important point to make there. Now, soils are very wet all across the state. The wettest part of the state is in southern Illinois. They've received a decent amount of precipitation over the last couple of weeks that have really brought soils up to saturation. Fortunately, here in central Illinois, and especially out in western Illinois, we've had a number of days over the last couple of weeks where we've hit temperatures, you know, 60, 70 degrees, and the wind has just been relentless. It doesn't make for good hiking weather, but what it does do is it really increases the evaporation off that soil surface. So it dries out that top layer of soil pretty rapidly. Give you an idea, last Sunday on March, I believe that was March 10th, or March 8th, we had a measurement of potential evaporation out of the soil of about 0.2 inches for just one day. And to give you an idea, that represents that the average, the kind of typical amount of evaporation that's being pulled out of the soil in mid-June. So that really helped to dry down those soils, especially out there in western Illinois. And because of that, I've actually seen folks on Twitter posting, getting some field work, getting into their fields now here in central Illinois and then out in western Illinois. So that has definitely been good. Overall, though, soils across the region, including here in Illinois, but also up in the upper Midwest, they are still wetter than normal. We're not looking at record wetness like we were maybe a month ago. And again, the warm temperatures and relatively dry conditions have really helped that. However, I need to caution to say that soils are still very wet. So if we do see a wetter than normal spring, especially if we get some of those extreme precipitation events where we're getting 2-3 inches in a number of days, that will create standing water issues in fields and flooding even along minor tributaries. So that is something to keep in mind, that although we are better than we were even just a month ago as far as soil wetness, and we're definitely better than we were last year, it is spring in Illinois, and the potential is still there to have some standing water issues, especially in some of those low-lying areas.
Yeah, and that's going to be important to keep in mind, too, just from an agronomic standpoint. You know, again, I think because of what we experienced last year, the temptation, I think, is going to be to get out into fields and get some work done as soon as possible, and we can cause some compaction issues that can lead to major problems later on. So yeah, definitely good to be paying attention to those soil moisture conditions and making sure that we're okay to be out there with
absolutely equipment. And that is something where, you know, I know folks are really anxious to get going, like you said, especially after last year, but those compaction issues can be real. You know, just making sure that soils are stable enough or dry enough to be doing that kind of work is really important. As far as flooding along streams are concerned, right now there's only a handful of gauges across the state that are in flood stage, and all of those are in minor flood stage trending downward. So again, because March has been very warm and near to slightly drier than normal, that's helped streams kind of come down off of their highs that they were looking at, especially in southern Illinois in February. And the point I like to make when I'm talking to folks is that anything that can help increase our capacity to store water when we get it in our rain coming in the next few months, that's really impactful. So like I mentioned with soils, if we can dry soils below saturation, it can take in some water. Same thing with streams. If we're trending downward, if we're not in flood stage, it takes a tremendous amount of rainfall to get us up to flood stage, which is better than we were looking last year. Last year, soils were saturated across the state. We had many, many stations or gauges already in flood stage. So that is something that is good. At the same time, thinking about outlooks, The National Weather Service River Forecast Center is still showing that most places along the Mississippi River between Minneapolis and St. Louis have a 90% or greater chance of flooding over the next 3 months. So it is important to say that even though we are looking better than we were last year, there is still a good chance that we're going to see some kind of flooding along the Mississippi River. Now, whether we get to minor flood stage where there's really not a whole lot of impacts, or to that major flood stage where we begin to see the impacts, and the duration of flooding, which is something that was particularly important last year, that really just depends on how wet we're going to be over the next 2 to 3 months. So if you remember last year, there were some places along the Mississippi that were in flood stage from November of 18 all the way through July of last year. The only way that can happen is if we get the consistent precipitation like we got last year, which again, given the frequency of rain last year, it's very unlikely that is going to happen. So again, kind of a cautionary statement here to say that there is likely going to be flooding on the Mississippi and maybe some minor flooding along the Illinois and Kaskaskia over the next few months. But we're not necessarily locked into having this major long-term flooding, which is again, pretty good news. Overall, as far as outlooks are concerned, I just need to throw in a little bit about drought here. There's no drought across the entire region right now. There's very little risk of drought developing this spring, and all of the outlooks don't show any indication of elevated drought risk this summer. As far as large scale patterns are concerned, we don't see the kind of patterns in the atmosphere that are really conducive to drought forming in the summer. So, overall, that is a good thing that it's unlikely we're going to see a long or larger kind of drought in this warm season. So overall, looking at outlooks for precipitation, so everything from the short term 6 to 10 and 8 to 14 day outlooks, all the way out to the seasonal outlooks that go out to June. They're showing elevated odds of warmer and wetter than normal conditions across the state. Now, the probabilities for having warmer and wetter conditions are strongest in the short term and through March, and they weaken as we get out to May and June. A lot of that is just the certainty that we have in those outlooks. Obviously, it's a lot easier to forecast something 8 to 14 days out than it is 90 days out. But that is to say that pretty much since the fall of last year, we've seen outlooks converge to say, yeah, on these long timescales, we're expecting to see spring and early summer be warmer than normal and wetter than normal. And a lot of that because patterns like El Nino and so are in their neutral phase, not a lot of predictability there. A lot of that is based off of these short-term modes as well as long-term trends. And one thing we're seeing across the state of Illinois, as far as long-term trends are concerned, is warming and increased precipitation in the springtime. So a lot of these outlooks on the long-term scales are looking at that. I would caution to say that even though it's likely that March, the rest of March, as well as maybe April and May are going to be warmer and wetter than normal, it does not mean we're going to see 2019. The total amount of precipitation we got in 2019, as well as the frequency of that precipitation, how frequently rainfall events came, was unprecedented. And so statistically, you know, thinking about the way the climate system works, it's very unlikely that you get those types of extreme events 2 years in a row. So even though it's likely we'll be wetter than normal, it's very unlikely we're going to see precipitation to the magnitude that, or to the extent that we saw in 2019.
Well, yeah, and we really got off to a cold start last year as well. That the you know, it seemed like winter really prolonged, and I know that's one thing that's been on my mind from, again, from an agronomic standpoint. You know, as late as harvest was, you know, we kind of got right into that winter weather, and you know, there hasn't been much of an opportunity for a lot of that residue to break down and start decomposing, you know, like it normally would in late fall. And so these warmer temperatures we're having now, I think, are really going to be beneficial from a standpoint of getting residue broken down and lead to less issues with nitrogen availability in that early season. So I'm, you know, I think we're even if we're going to be a little bit wetter than normal, having those warmer temperatures is, I mean, that certainly puts us in a better spot than
absolutely
we were last year.
Yeah, yeah, and so. So overall, as far as the spring is looking, it's likely we'll be dealing with excess water issues across the state. That seems to be more of the norm anymore, where you know, the precipitation causes some flooding issues, some standing water issues. It is very unlikely that we will be dealing with the magnitude of excess water and the spatial extent of excess water like we saw in 2019. So again, some kind of mixed news where, yeah, we're not looking at drier than normal conditions as folks would prefer. It is probably still going to be wetter than normal for the rest of this month and April and May. But it's unlikely we're going to see what we saw in 2019. And that is overall good news.
Yep, absolutely. No, it's, definitely a little bit less stressful position than we were at this time last year. So that's absolutely good to hear. So. Anything else on your mind?
Not really. A lot of the large scale patterns, I mentioned ENSO, but a lot of the other large scale patterns aren't really showing any sort of strong indications. Spring and especially into summer is when we begin to get more local influence on our climate and less impact from these large scale modes of variability out in the Pacific and the Atlantic and the Arctic. It looks like what we've seen over the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks is likely to continue. Warmer than normal temperatures, abundant precipitation, hopefully not too much. But yeah, that's kind of what we're looking at. And hopefully with some warm temperatures and some dry days in between, hopefully folks can get out in their fields and maybe even get an early planting going.
Yeah, and so just a little bit of weather trivia here before we started recording here. I think you said, did you call it the North Atlantic Oscillation? Is that kind of what's keeping those warm temperatures in our area.
That's right. Yeah,
right,
the North Atlantic Oscillation, and then its cousin or twin sister, maybe better analogy is the Arctic Oscillation, which is a pattern of pressure between the Arctic and here in the mid latitudes. The intensity of the Arctic Oscillation really leads to the frequency of cold air outbreaks, especially in the wintertime. So when the AO, the Arctic Oscillation, is in its positive phase, we tend to see that very cold air stay in the high latitudes in the Arctic and the poles. When it switches in a negative phase, that's when we begin to see that big swing in the jet stream that brings us that very cold air. Looking at the Arctic Oscillation Index, it has been in positive phase pretty consistently since the mid part of December. Now the forecasts are showing it may go back down towards negative phase, but like I mentioned before, the impact on these patterns and oscillations really weakens as we move into summer. So it's although it's very possible we could still see temporary or kind of isolated cold air outbreak, it's becoming less and less possible. One thing I did want to mention, though, we've mentioned that these warm temperatures have been a bit of a godsend in some cases. One impact, negative impact from warm temperatures, is that some of our specialty crops, orchards, vineyards, and horticulture, we have heard some reports of bud reddening or preparing for bud break. And actually in southern Ohio, I've heard some instances of apple buds breaking. We are still a good, especially in central and northern Illinois, we're still a good month away from our median last spring freeze date, let alone a late spring freeze date. So if we continue to see those warm temperatures, we could see if we do get a cold air outbreak in, let's say, mid-April or late April, we could see some impacts to some of the specialty crops. Right now, my extension folks that I plug into are saying they're not really concerned about that as much, but I guess we'll see as we keep moving forward.
All right, great information as always. Very interesting. We really appreciate your time and taking the time out of your day to give us your insight and what's going on. We'll definitely plan on bringing you back later this year to kind of give us
absolutely
an update.
Thanks for bringing me on, Troy. I'm happy to talk about this anytime.
All right, much appreciated. So. Thanks again to Dr. Ford, and thanks to everyone for listening. And we'll see you again on the next episode of the Illinois Agronomy Roundup. Thank you.